You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls his people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin.
And welcome to another edition of The Front Line. And we are on the front line. Now, what we like to tell our listeners, by the way, too, is the reason why this title, The Front Line, is we have people here that are on the front line of ministry. Mm-hmm. And while you're listening to them, keep in mind God wants you on the front line of ministry too.
Amen.
Yeah, we don't get to sit back and rest on our laurels. Mm-hmm. Some of us don't have laurels to rest on. We've got to be out there. Anyway, so, and we have a wonderful guest today. It's going to be a listening folks today, especially. Open both of your ears. There's a great message that's going to come through our guest today. But first, I have to interview my co-host, Ann Limhoko.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And you know, I always like to say, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
In it. Amen. Yes. And Ed Skiba, the other co-host, can't be here today. He's doing a good mission. He's taking his wife to the doctor's office.
Yeah.
So we pray for actually for that visit and for Bonnie to be well, nicely examined, and any discoveries that need to be made should be made, and the Lord will lead to healing.
Yes.
So we thank you. And our guest today is Tanya Roberts. Tanya, welcome.
Thank you.
It's good, really good to have you here. And I always tell, I can't seem to not say this to guests, especially exciting stories that you're going to share, that you're probably going to have to come back some way down the road.
She hasn't even started, but
I know, I know, but I've already...
You could discern in the spirit, David.
Between reading the bio that she sent you and having had a chance to talk this morning, I just know there's always more than we can do in an hour. Hmm. And so Tanya has a ministry through Love Unveiled, right? Which is an international jail and prison ministry, right?
A women's discipleship ministry.
Women's discipleship ministry. Mm-hmm. But they're often in jails and prisons.
In certain places.
In certain places. And Tanya's ministry is exercised at the Martin County Jail. And so we talked earlier, in my heart, I have a strong place in my heart for jail and prison ministry. And that's where I started as a brand new Christian almost 50 years ago doing that. But before we get into your ministry in the jail, tell us about, give us your God story, Tanya. What was life like before Jesus, and then what led you to meet him?
Okay, yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to share. And I grew up going to church, being taught some good morals, and I knew about Jesus, but I didn't really know him. Mm-hmm. It wasn't personal. He wasn't real to me. It was more like got up, you know, if I was in church, some guy up on a stage who I don't know preaching at me, and it feels like a very distant, far God. It was never real to me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't recognize my need for him either. Yeah. You know, I sort of had it all together in my mind, you know, and had a plan. And so the Lord has a way of making our plans fall apart to start to move in what he's planned for us. But yeah, amen. I mean, just fast forward to 16, I had a few pretty significant things happen in my home, and just with men that broke my heart, got me off track, and in the wrong direction for some years, really just seeking to fill the void and the party and love in the wrong place and whatever that looks like. And that avenue, and then tried a different avenue and just really seeking to fill that hole in a different way in the world in terms of education and work and career and whatnot. So I ended up undergrad psychology and business, went to law school, and from there I ended up guardian litem and then the public defender's office for a long time. Then I started my own law firm and did largely criminal defense, and so anywhere from DUI to, you know, murder, death penalty, RICO, capital sexual battery, all kind of, you know, different things that doing. But in that time frame, because that was where I spent most of my career in law doing, was criminal defense. Really what God was doing was developing a heart in me for the brokenhearted, for the people in there, so much that I would see that just just broke my heart. And you know, I just remember some years before that really started asking God some questions of the way I do my design. And it's like, what's going on here? How can I help them? And why so many of the anxiety, depressions, and mental illness and things that I had at the time? And he had a way of taking my own journey to my own brokenness and my own freedom.
That's just how we work.
So to bring me to that place. So it took me a lot of time. When I had the law firm, I was struggling with my son. And this is really where things started to shift for me because he spoke to me very clearly. And I didn't understand his voice at the time, so I really didn't know him personally. But he spoke a very clear word, and he said, "Leave the law firm." And I was like, "I can't be God. That must be really devil. Yeah, because I was going to be here. I don't know if you're successful.
In your
life. Thank you, right?" And so I just said, "Okay, well, if you don't know what, am I supposed to do? If I don't do that, of course, it doesn't work like that. So I went back to just doing what I did, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then my life sort of kept falling apart. It was already a mess anyway, but it kept falling apart more and ended up with significant health issues, got in a car accident, whatnot. Mm. I finally just yielded to the Lord and said, okay, I'll do whatever you want, and ended up leaving the law firm and really just starting to have a hunger for the Word and just reading the Word so much. And at that time, because I'd taught classes at IRSC in the legal department there for like 10 years. So I was still doing that part time, but really just, you know, left law and just really started meeting him, getting to know him. But my life was still a mess. And there was a moment where I just remember I was on the ground and I was literally screaming at God. And I was screaming, "Help me," at the very top of my lungs, losing my voice, just screaming, "Help me. I need your help." And just weeping. And about a week later, he sent me somebody. Two weeks later, I met Liz Dixon. She's the founder of the Love Unveiled Ministry. And she invited me into the next workshop group that was starting very shortly after that. And so what she does is she takes small groups of women, like 12 women, and she disciples them for 3.5 years. So the model is Jesus and the disciples, right?
Yeah.
And in that first workshop, now this was 2015, the Lord just absolutely wrecked me. I just, you know, in a personal and real way in that room, sitting with these women who were the very essence of God, you know, because I was in this room and there were ministry leaders from all over the world in different countries. And I'm like, what is this? Why am I here? You know, like I don't fit in it at all. And just wept and cried and prayed and really just did a massive healing work in my heart and filled me with the Spirit and just forever and significantly, you know, changed my life. And then did such a massive healing work. There was about a 3-month period from that moment in 2015 where God changed everything, that he healed significant things in my life that were just, I had anxiety, I had depression, I had panic attacks. He just took it all.
Wow.
I had ulcerative colitis, which is a problem with the colon. It's a lifelong illness. You're told you're going to have to take medicine for the rest of your, you know, life for this. And God just took that. And he said, "It's done. It's finished." I was going on a mission trip, and I heard him say, and I just believed that believed him when he said it. And I stopped taking the medicine. I went on the mission trip, and he took that. He healed that. I was having a massive bleeding issue. I'd had that for years. That was just, you know, no reason but stress. And he healed that. I had jaw problems for so long that my jaw was clenched tight and shut. I couldn't even get a toothbrush in from so much tension and stress. And and God healed that. And I actually had a surgery for that. And I was told I'd have multiple surgeries for that. And it would be long-term, extensive, but it was just the one surgery. God was all over that. I felt his presence so strong when I came out. When I came out, something popped in my neck and back that I'd had problems with my neck and back for so many years. And just, he just did so much. I mean, I had migraines for years and I would take 1,000 milligrams of you know, something and throw up in the trash can because I'd have such bad headaches. Take something, keep going at work because you don't stop in that business in the world of law. You keep going. And but I mean, and just that even just begins to touch the surface of how much significant healing it did, emotional, spiritual, physical, in so many ways in that season. And then he told me I had gone back to law for a period of time. I was at the county, doing the litigation for the county at that time. And this time he said, "Leave, you're done with law now, leave." And I said, "Yes, sir." You know, I learned my lesson back in 2011, and I knew his voice then too, so right? So I said, "Yes, sir," and I left. And within a very short period of time after that, he said, "Now, go back into the jail, and this time tell him about real freedom." Freedom in me.
Love unveiled. Wow.
Freedom in me. Not the, you know, it's the internal walls got to break and come down. Otherwise, the external ones will keep coming back, you know, and that's true for everyone, not just the women in that jail, whatever our jail, personal jail looks like. So
you're now the director of the Love Unveiled program at the Martin County Jail, right?
I am at the jail, yes. Yeah. I'm the director of the program there. Now, Liz Dixon's the founder and director of the Love Unveiled Ministry worldwide. Mm-hmm. So
tell us about the Love Unveiled program, if you don't mind.
Sure.
About the jail ministry. What do you exactly do? I know you have volunteers under you.
Mm-hmm. So I got to tell you a couple pieces that I just think is pretty amazing, too. And about how the Lord got me in there and the way that he did that, too, and some of the lessons that he taught me in that. Because he told me to go back in there.
Mm-hmm.
But then I thought I could do this with my own contacts. I had some people there, so I made some phone calls and nothing moved. And the Lord said, Tanya, you don't open doors with your contacts. I open doors. And you just be still. So then I was just still, and I waited, and I was quiet, and I just was, what's going on? Because nothing was going on, but I was learning those waiting lessons in that time.
Yeah.
And I remember I was driving to Orlando once. This was a couple months later, and asking the Lord, and I said, I know this is your idea, not mine. So would you confirm this somehow? And I was driving up there, and I've done this drive a whole bunch of times, and I ended up getting lost and ending up in front of a prison. And just started laughing. I said, okay, God, you're funny. I understand. So I'm just waiting on you. Yeah. And then 4 days later, when I came out of that workshop, I was praying. And as soon as I said amen, my phone dinged. And it was a sheriff's office saying, come in and tell us about Love Unveiled. And then I did. And then I was in there right after that. It was 2016. So I've been... when they're in 2016 and some of the other, significant things that I just remember in that time frame that the Lord was doing is that there were other job offers and things coming my way for different jobs, better jobs, blessed days, really good money.
Mm-hmm.
And I was still working part time at the college, but otherwise I was eating my ramen noodles in faith, and I just, even the sheriff's office that offered me job HR, work with legal and different things. And I kept saying, just respectfully, I have to decline. I don't feel like the Lord's leading on that. And then about a year and a half later, the Lord said, now leave that job, lead your IRSC job. And I just said, yes, sir. And the next week, the sheriff's office offered the contract to run the program out there full time in the same way that Dunklin does for the men. So just the many lessons and waiting and learning and so much. It's just amazing to be in there and to disciple these women and to sit with them and to listen to their hearts and their brokenness. They're amazing. I love those women.
I know you do.
Yeah.
It is a labor of love, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna take a break in a few seconds here and then we'll get back. I don't wanna get you onto a substantial course of discussion and then we have to break. So let's just go ahead and do that. And I will tell you folks that at the bottom of the hour, which that's radio speak for 11:30, we will be taking calls if you want to call in. Now, write the number down, and I'll tell it again, but it's 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. Don't call before 11:30 because there's no one out there right now to answer your calls, but there will be by that time. Let's just take a break and we'll be right back.
I'm Mindy Molina, investment advisor rep, licensed insurance agent, and fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to The Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. You need to hear and embrace the Word of God. We are beginning a new live program on Tuesday, December the 3rd, at 11 a.m., and it will air live every Tuesday. We call it a biblical response. It's designed to look closely at some of the hot-button issues impacting our culture. We will view them through the lens of biblical truth, the Word of God, not just exposing the meaning of today's evil events, but giving us a clear understanding of how to address them. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. Welcome back to the front line. that's our music. Excuse me, our theme music, as it were. I just pulled down the pot because we need to go right into picking back up with Tanya Roberts and your ministry in the Martin County Jail through
Love Unveiled.
Love Unveiled. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got my notes here. I've got to refer to them. Tell us. I'm trying to discern. You know, the Lord's been trying to speak to me here during the break. And I believe. Let's get your heart. Let's unpack your heart for these women in the jail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get. Tell us where your heart is with them and how God leads you to minister to them.
Mm-hmm. So my heart, and really the heart of this ministry too, is freedom, that they would have freedom, right?
Amen.
They've been in such bondage, and I know bondage myself, and they've been in such bondage for so long, and such a depth of bondage that is, you know, has a hold, and it's only the Lord that can release that. The freedom is in Him, and that's really the heart of the ministry, is freedom to be who God created you to be, right?
Amen.
The world
Amen.
And everyone else try to create you and mold you into their image, but who has God really created you and designed you to be? What's your identity in Him? And so my heart is that they would be free, and to do that, they need the Word. They need to know who they are. They need to know their identity. I spent a lot of time in that, really breaking down the lies of the enemy who would tell them who they are and who they're not and everything else, and that they would understand that they have, well, people want purpose. They want to understand, what's my purpose in life? But your purpose comes out of your identity. So if you don't know your identity, which is who you are in Him, I've created in the image of God, and I get that, and then my purpose flows out of that, right?
Amen.
So, but freedom, that's my heart for them, is they'd be free, and really the call that God has in my life is discipleship, to just disciple them and to walk with them, right? I don't go in there and just preach at them. In the mess of their lives, and willing to walk with them in there, and when they get out, and it's heartbreaking, and messy, but I love it, and it's fulfilling, and it's beautiful too. So,
I'm hearing your heart, Tanya, and as you were sharing, I would flip back to when you had your law firm as a defense attorney, and I'm sure the same basic heart was involved with all of your clients, that they would come to you to defend them in court, usually, or to represent them. Maybe wouldn't get to trial, but you would be doing your best to represent them for the best outcome for them. And when you talk about freedom, you know, I would think, I don't know much about it. I watch a lot of defense attorneys like Perry Mason, right? the iconic, right? But out of that, you do get some, I probably got some helpful stuff, but if you have a client you want to get them the best result, outcome from the charges they're facing and all the legal entanglements that go along with that. And on occasion, I'm sure that you've been able to defend them successfully, and they've gotten freedom. In other words, they're not going back. They're not going to jail. They're free. They're not just out on bond, but they're free. They've been acquitted. And yet, because I'm hearing, God has allowed me to hear that beating heart. For the real, even before you knew the Lord, you wanted a freedom for them, which ultimately acquittal alone couldn't provide.
Mm-mm.
Until they learned about the acquittal.
Oh, I was.
I know
so
where you were going.
The
acquittal that Jesus gave
in
them.
The courtroom of heaven.
Courtroom of heaven. When they received Him as Lord and Savior, they got. Ultimate
Amen.
Acquittal.
Yes, there's the real not guilty that we need, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've begun to unpack that, but would you carry that forward a little bit from your heart?
Yeah. No, I mean, because just the bondage of shame and guilt and regret and the past and the things that have been done to us, or that we've done, that is like a life sentence on you and defines you, and God wants to just undo all of that and turn it around for his glory, really.
Amen.
If we let him, if we let go, if we release and just say, my heart's yours, because he's not, he just wants our heart, you know, he wants a relationship.
Amen.
And he just loves them so much, but, you know, so many people, period, but a lot of women, particularly in this place, you know, just so much that's stomped on the heart's capacity to even receive love. So I just really, to big piece of anything that we're doing is just, I'm just loving them where they're at. If I can't do that, they're not even gonna have the capacity or desire to hear. You don't, you begin to listen to somebody, what they have to say, when they first know that you care about them.
That's
right.
True.
And that I see them, I'm willing to listen, not just come and just start talking out of a preach. But when I sit down and meet with them for the first time, I just listen to them.
You know,
because
there's no judgment.
Every person's different. And what I would say to one person is not going to be the same as the other. It's like, if I don't listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say, and sometimes it just be quiet and listen to them. Don't say anything, you know? So
it's beautiful.
And this is, you know, we're well aware that men and women are different. You know, we're going to say God only made two genders. If this is a surprise to you, you need to get back into the Word of God, but we are different, men and women, and I can probably talk all day about being a man, because I've been a man all my life.
Good to know, Dan.
And, and I'm going to continue until I die, but I do know, as a pastor, and I've spent 37 years pastoring and working with men and women, but, you know, I began to become aware, as much as I could perceive as a male who is perceptive, and even, but certainly more so with the help of God. But women can often come from a very different set of difficulties and circumstances that are peculiar to being a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think maybe our listeners, there's maybe at least one out there that's saying, tell me more, you know? And so because of your experience, both being a woman, but also ministering to women, what are, let's say, one, two, or maybe even three things that are peculiar to womanhood that you really find that need ultimately and maybe up front the blessing of God?
Well, I would say it just, even the name of this ministry is Love Unveiled. And, you know, these women, me, all women I've ever met, they really just need some love. They need to know that the love, but, you know, till you really begin to receive that and grasp a hold of it in the Spirit from God, from Jesus, and his love that's poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, you're just looking for it in the wrong place. So, I mean, there, and I think, but even I just listening to you talking about, you know, men and women are so different. Yes, however, God's created them to move and flow together, and men have such a humongous big piece and big part in and lifting up and encouraging women, being really a covering and a protection for them. I believe that's how God's designed men, you know, is to be a covering and a protection. So where these women, and I understand it, but where there's been such abuse, and it's 10 out of 10, such devastating abuse largely from men in life, but that men have no idea the capacity that they have to be a soothing ointment to the heart of women, just to encourage them, just to look them in the eye, and someone saw them that day, you know, and encourage them and love them and lift them up, right? I mean, just to me, that's huge, that calling, you know, the mighty men of valor, where are you? Raise up, stand in the shoes that God's given you to do, to be a covering and a protection to your families and in the community and wherever God calls you.
When love is an imposter for hate, lust, anger, and the where men and I've worked with several men, when especially when I was doing prison ministry way back in the day, but you know, one commonality that when they started to break down and open up to Christ seemed to be one of the themes is they began to become aware of how they misrepresented what they thought was love to the women in their life, and in that misrepresentation they ended up, you know, that's where the abuse came from. That's where the denigration came from, you know, and then they had to rise superior to in the eyes of the women by bringing them down, and by the physical, emotional, and sexual abuse. And so, for a lot of women, I'm sure that this may apply, or presumably apply to many who are currently incarcerated, or have been. It's that they've been abused. They've been literally that imposter that was called love that was really a dark, mm-hmm. demonic yeah. expression mm-hmm. from the inner oh. heart of a man who didn't know the Lord, didn't want to know him, and was trying to live his life based on what he thought or what other people told him he should be.
Mm-hmm.
It was all wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, such the big piece there, really, is just forgiveness, right? So that's a lot, you know, that we talk about, too, is just the bigger bitterness, the anger, the resentments, the unforgiveness that come from that kind of stuff. And asking God to shift our capacity to see people from a different perspective, like whatever men in your life that have hurt you, they, you know, people can only give what they've received. So
Amen.
If they have not yeah. received the love and the joy and the freedom and life that comes in the Lord, they're giving out of what? It's not an overflow. It's out of the flesh. It's out of pain. It's out of their own sorrow and unhealed hearts. And so, you know, just we need God's heart on all people. They do too. And, you know, my heart's of mercy, eyes of mercy. Well, he's given such mercy to us. How dare we not
praise
give
God.
It, you know, to other people? But it takes time for the heart to be ready and willing to let go and trust God with it. And, you know, even when you just talk about justice, right, like in the courtroom or with people, well, I want to, you know, it's like, no, just God, his judgment, his release, his ways with the people in your life. They're better. They're higher. Just let go of them and learn how to love them and pray for them.
And this is, you're now speaking of things that are coming directly out of the heart of God, and mm-hmm. this is how they, where they need to come from. We're so close to a break that I have a question, and I think maybe we're just going to plant the seed and let it sprout in the next 15 minutes when we come back from the break. But the thing, you talked about something that there's one word. It's a word that many people who don't know the Lord don't think about, don't let it become operative in their own lives, don't even think it's possible, and that's forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
The environment within which you worked as a defense attorney, and in fact the whole court system, is based on the presentation of accusations and the response thereto. I mean, it's that, I'm not meaning to boil it down or denigrate it, but just to say, accusation seems to be the currency.
Yeah, it's a ministry of condemnation.
Yeah, yes,
that's
really
true.
There's
that's
all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But at no point in the working out in that environment, as lives move together, is forgiveness really not just on the table, but a goal. But in now talking about a life in Christ, that the whole issue of forgiveness is on the top of the list. It's God's list. And it soon, if it's not ours by intention, it soon becomes that when a heart turns to Christ. Mm. Having said that, let's return to that after a break. Mm.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Well, Welcome back to the front line, and as I promised, we're going to open the phone lines if you want to call in. If you have a question for Tanya Roberts or a comment you'd like to share with us and everybody else listening in, the 772-221-1100 is the phone number to call, 772-221-1100. And I'll hope to remember to remind you throughout the rest of the hour, but let's get back to, and I want to hear from Tanya about her experience at the Martin County Jail, and I'm sure there's at least one, probably more than one, success story. But we were at the, before we went on the break, we were talking about forgiveness, how critical that is for to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, his work, ultimately his final work on the cross, and the miracles that flow from the foot of the cross to us. But forgiveness is a big deal when you're ministering to anybody, but particularly people in jail, prison. Talk a little bit about that, and then as the Lord leads, share more about your and concretely about your ministry at the Martin County Jail.
Sure. So I think forgiveness is really the ticket to, if you want to walk in freedom, if you want to be free, it's not happening any other way. You know, I mean, you're just, you're not going to get the release that you need and the healing to the heart that comes from really forgiving. And it's a choice. Mm-hmm. I choose to align myself with the truth of God and the will of God. And often I need to understand have some comprehension of the love of God first.
Yeah.
Who he is, that I would even, you know, like God, he doesn't force us down on our knees and say, forgive, you know. I mean, he just, he draws us to him with his own love. And I receive his forgiveness, and I receive begin to receive his heart. And if I have a new heart and it's beating in my chest, then I'm following the direction and leading of his spirit. Okay, it's time, Tanya. Mm-hmm. It's time, ladies, to trust me. Mm-hmm. This choice, you choose to forgive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because the alternative is if you let the bitterness and all that stuff stay in, that's a poison root, and it defiles many, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if we want to be a fragrance to the people around us, if we want to live a life God's called us to, yeah, we got to trust him in it. And there is a process, people walking with us, praying for us, you know, praying with them, teaching them to pray for the people that have hurt them. You know, just so many lessons God's taught me in this. Yeah. And so you don't get to teach the word and speak this without having learned some these lessons yourself.
Yeah. That's
true. You sort of have to have that experience first before you can pass it on. And your testimony has to be authentic. And if you're making it up, and believe me, I run into people.
You could tell if it's made up.
Yeah. I think probably even early on in my life, I wanted to be something I wasn't. That became my, I was an imposter.
Yeah.
Thank God he stepped in.
Yeah, and the enemy's the imposter. He's the one that's saying, those people don't deserve forgiveness. Of course they don't, neither did I. Yeah. You know, but that's just the release of his mercy from his kingdom, from his cross, from his blood.
Amen.
You know, that's higher and speaks a better word. But so, yeah, I mean, in there I have, we have a program that runs 5 days a week, and I have one-on-one mentors that are assigned to each person that meet with them weekly. And they're a key piece of what goes on. These mentors, this volunteer team that I have, they're amazing. I love these women. So thankful for them. And that teach, I have, you know, other classes too. So I teach the Love Unveiled classes. And other women come in, they teach classes on the and recovery, and you know, capacitating, and I teach the Love Unveiled class, and I have a book, devotional, and other modeling, and other classes that they're doing, you know, throughout the time. But I'm just so amazing, the heart of so many of the people that I work with. I mean, a lot of my volunteers, especially the one-on-ones who have gone through the 3.5-year discipleship themselves, sent me on the inside. So, with me, you know, volunteers here to live through the first piece of this journey, this 3.5-year journey, and this, you know, he's going to deal so much as on the identity of knowing Christ, to assume that the healing of Jesus, and he's 3.5-year journey. Restoration and aspects, but for when they get out, I mean, they need so much support on that outfit, and they need to continue to allow people to want to train them. It's like, I went through the 3.5 years, twice, like the 7 years, and it really takes them, and it's absolutely wonderful, powerful, amazing woman of God, and you know, they've trained my outfit, and they've still done that. I have another woman, Dean Ballmer, she's in her 80s, and the powerful woman who's worked with her every single time that he had just. You know, just the people that was in my life. I mean, she loves me, she encourages me, she corrects me, you know. And we
this. I want to put after something, you know. So we'll make it an offer. We'll find people and do a workshop that will just that will release the fall amount from the community in October. Just different places that are part of these workshop groups. And then we can handle the training. This is just the beginning, like, right, to transfer the heart, transform the offering, deeper into the intimacy of the Holy Spirit, and birth it, and so forth, throughout this journey. It's just amazing and transformative. And I want that all these women, when they get out, would continue on the journey, because they need support, you know?
There's a dynamic that is, it's been recognized for generations, and those that study inmate life and the whole probation parole, the data that comes through those that are get out on parole, or, you know, they get out, they finish their sentence, you know, there's no parole, but they often go back to where they started, you know, then they go back to the old neighborhoods, the old people, the old crew, and they don't really get free, they just reintegrate, and then they get in trouble again. The recidivism rate
is high.
I don't know if other states, but I think in Florida, it's still about 85%. Mm-hmm. Most of them within 2 weeks.
Wow.
And so, but I do know that when someone has had a connection with a ministry in either jail or prison, and they maintain that connection when they get out, and some have residential programs and some don't, but the point is, if they have an ongoing connection, the recidivism rate is reversed. Mm-hmm. And would you find that to be true with the people you're working with?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. If they don't have continued relationships with new people that know and love the Lord and can lead them in that, what are they going back to?
Right.
You know, so, yeah, I mean, that's certainly huge.
And that seems like it's a component of your ministry when it comes to those who've been released who are still in the area that you've made connection with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think... you know, even when I can watch women like genuinely come to meet the Lord and begin to receive, you know, like there's all of a sudden there's peace where there wasn't, right? And they really meet him and they receive him. And yet until there's that moment where there's really a complete surrender, and that's the moment where I know they're going to be okay, because they're not coming back in. Where there's that real surrender, there's shift, there's change, you know, in a new way, and bringing him to that place where they just really are totally letting go to love and to him. You know, there's so many fears and things that stand in the way, but that's why it's a journey.
Always.
But I have Zoom meetings that I do on the outside for the women that are released. So this Zoom meeting is just for the women that were in there with me in the jail. So it's a place of safety and comfort, right? That they can open up and no one's judging them there. So I have a Zoom meeting for them. And I have gatherings all the time in my house. They're welcome in my house. They know that. They have my cell phone. They can call me. They can talk to me. I mean, I always answer at midnight. Sometimes I do, but, you know, I got to put up some boundaries for my own self. But, yeah, however I can support them in one-on-one and meetings and workshops and however else, as well as my volunteer team are willing and able to do that, those that want it, you know.
Right.
So.
But that's what I think is needed is, it's one thing to make connections with someone who's in jail or prison and to develop a relationship there. But when they finally get released, and if most of them are going to go back to where they got in trouble the first time.
Right. Huge issue.
If you have that substantial connection with you or someone like you, there's a good chance that's going to stay connected. And maybe that's going to draw them out of that that crucible of evil that they were stuck in before they met you, and hopefully they made the Lord, but that they're going to want to be a part of this new life. And so you're there. You offer your support, your actual person. You're there for them to talk to sit down with over coffee or whatever. That's like that's a bond that you're not going to allow to be broken.
Absolutely.
And that makes the big difference.
Yeah, that I think it's important that people know I love you no matter what.
Yeah.
Right? So if you end up back in that jail, don't hide yourself down there. I'm going to come see you, and I'm going to love you just the same. So
yeah.
That's beautiful.
That's a bridge. That's the love that bridges hearts back to Christ. Tell us, I promised you that I would have you talk about how people can get in touch with you to learn more about what you're doing in the Love Unveiled ministry at the Martin County Jail. And also, And there, I know there's a national website for the organization. Mm-hmm. But and that's how they could donate to help your ministry, to help you personally. Mm-hmm. Because you live like all those of us that are under 501(c)(3)
donations.
Umbrella.
Yeah.
We depend on the good hearts of donors.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you're part in that same. So tell us how people can reach you and tell us about the website.
Sure. So you can just call my cell. You know, I think I shared with you that, you know, I don't answer unknown numbers, but leave a message or text me and then I will call back. But my cell phone is 772-353-9005. Or you can reach me at my email, Tanya, Tanya.Roberts, Roberts, 317@gmail.com. You could also go on the website to make donations. Just when you go in there, you'd have to specify in the box that it's for designated for the Martin County Jail. But yeah, I mean, God has just taken me on my own journey. I'm just really trusting him. I don't worry about, you know, money. Like, he's just king. He's in charge of everything. He releases what, you know, I've lacked nothing that I've needed. He's so faithful in that way. I mean, even... I just tell you just a short piece. About a month ago, my car broke down and I just felt him say, just be still, Tanya, just wait on me. So I said, okay. So I just had borrowed cars from amazing people in the, you know, community and stuff. But,
yeah.
And then my kids sat me down and they said, Mom, like, you seriously need to go look for a car, look at prices and whatever. And I was like, okay, learning opportunity, wisdom of the world, wisdom of God. Like, okay, I appreciate it. I love you guys. I'm going to wait on God. The next day, someone called and said, I feel like God asked me to give you my car. And so I have a car. It's awesome. I love it. You
Praise
know,
the
I
Lord.
Just, and That's it was beautiful. A testimony to the kids and a build up for their faith to see. Listen, when we just wait on God, when we serve him, when we love him, we obey him, we trust him, right? He's at work. And we have a saying with Love and Veil. We say, the more you know him, the more you love him.
Mm.
And the more you love him, the more you trust him.
Amen.
And the more you trust him, the more freedom there is. So there's this journey of like, just help me. You know, if I'm not really walking in the fullness of the freedom that the Lord has for me, I need to back it up to just getting to know him more, right? Because the more I know of him and I just understand the depth of his love for me, I'm going to trust him in those critical moments where I have choices to make, right, that matter and make a difference.
Yes. So. Well, I think anyone that's walked with the Lord, the benchmarks of faith are directly tied to our experience of God meeting our needs in critical circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
This is how God loves to just come through. I've had stories, and you have too. excuse me. Where again, it's amazing how these breaks come up so quickly. You know, but we're going to be taking a break. So when we come back, and I want to again remind you that you can call in. And you can ask a question or make a comment. The number is 772-221-1100. And people keep saying, speak slower, you know. So it's 772-221-1100. This comes from our fundraisers. You know, twice a year I'd mentioned to you we do coming up on one in March. And we mentioned the phone number. If we got a dollar for every time we mentioned the phone number, we wouldn't need to do fundraising. We got to say it so much. But we often wanted to get it done so we can go to the next segment. We speak fast. So 772-221-1100. And certainly call. If you want to call now, we'll be on the break for about a minute. When we come back, we'll be happy to take your call.
Yeah.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Short. Welcome back. That was a very short break. I put in a promo that has no time on it. I was just dropping stuff in, and I didn't realize it's still in the system, but it has no time on it. So anyway, we're back. And this is the last 15 minutes or so, and I kind of wish we had another hour, Tanya, to really bring out what God's got and going on in your life.
But she's going to be back. Remember?
She will be back. Yes, definitely. Okay. Definitely will be. So again, listener, 772-221-1100 is the number if you want to call. Encourage you to call if you have a comment or a question for Tanya. In this time, you know, there's so much we could talk about. There is one thing, and that's, without mentioning names or breaking confidence, mm-hmm. is there a success story, a Jesus success story, concerning somebody that you were able to minister to in the jail that you could share with us?
Mm-hmm. So many.
I'm sure. Yeah. I know it's tough. You have to pick one. But
yeah, so one girl, and she wouldn't care if I said her name, but I won't because I haven't talked with her, but she would get up here and tell you. But anyway, the Lord just did such a work in her life while she was in jail and in prison for a period of time too. But when she was getting ready to get out, I said, there was a workshop that's starting a week after you get out. I said, I don't know if you're able to make that kind of a commitment, like a 3.5-year commitment, because that's a pretty big commitment. You know, a lot of people sitting in the church aren't making that big of a commitment.
Amen. Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Much
yeah.
less your life is chaotic and all over the place, and then you just asked me to make a 3.5-year commitment. And she was like instantly in the spirit. She knew mm-hmm. she was to do that and joined that and went through that, got commissioned, had the support, just lifted up. God's just done so many miracles in her life. She's working at a school. She's got ministry to the juveniles, to the girls there that the Lord's given her. She comes back in the jail for me once a month to bring a message to them. Like, he's just done so much in her, you know. So really my heart is for more and more for the women to be able to come back in that have been changed and transformed, although they're really all over the place. A lot of them are down south or up north or in different places, one that's in college up in North Carolina, and just they're all over the place. But, you know, my heart is for them to come back in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because when you've really walked in the depth of addiction, and I didn't do that, but when they've walked, where they've walked in that, they can bring a testimony, you know, that is transformative. And I certainly have stuck my finger in plenty of electrical outlets and have learned my lessons, but they have a particularly special testimony that they can bring, you know, really just so much of the way that the Lord's, you know, made me and designed me is to really just bring the word. I love the word. The food is transformative. It's life changing. It builds us up, and they need it. And that's what will bring the life and brings forth the life and produces something and bursts something in them, you know.
Amen. Amen. The stories that you have, this one person who comes out of addiction, I would also just throw this in that many people already know I'm a recovering alcoholic. I'm a delivered alcoholic, and over 20 years, thank the Lord. But I've come to realize, and I think it was when the Lord delivered me from alcohol, I began to look around. I was already, by the way, I was already saved. It's amazing. Eyebrows go up when I say, you know, I was 20 years saved when I was delivered from alcohol. God's timing is not mine, or it's not yours. It was at that point. But it was then what crystallized for me is that every sin has an addiction attached to it.
Yeah,
it may not be, you know, alcohol, drugs, sex, but every sin we're addicted to. What we're doing and what we receive in the course of sinning. It's a dark thing that we receive, but we are addicted to it until Jesus comes along.
Yeah.
And then throughout our lives, incrementally in God's time, more and more we get delivered from those addictions. Because I did prison ministry too, seeing, you know, being able to connect that. And it's the addictions that often get people behind bars.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with that more. For whatever it is, any disease, whatever the disease is a sin disease, you know, really. Yeah. And the solution is the one who took the sin on himself.
Amen.
You know, and he knows how to get each of us to the place where, you know, we're ready and we're willing to give it all to him and choose and receive.
Yeah, amen.
Let go.
Let's tell people again how they can get in touch with you, Tanya, and how they can donate.
Yeah.
We got a good time.
Oh, my cell, you want me to get my cell again?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, please.
Sure.
Yeah, give them the,
and the website
contact
too,
information, the website, because sure. We want, if God's touching hearts out there, and I believe he is for a lot of things that you're telling today, but some hearts may want to donate to encourage, to continue your ministry.
Yes, sir. So my cell phone, 772-353-9005, and my email is Tanya, Tanya.Roberts. Roberts, 317@gmail.com. And the website is www.loveunveiled.org.
Amen. And when they go on the website to donate, they're going to be donating to the Martin County Jail Ministry. Is that how it's listed there?
Yeah. Well, they would just have to put in the little box at the bottom
That
it would be designated to the Martin County Jail.
Okay. So there's no prompts in the system to give them a list of where, you know, the money could go.
Yeah, they just set it up monthly or however.
Oh, okay.
Or one time or whatever, and then put in the box, Martin County Jail. And they know, the ladies that I work with up there. So, yeah. But, I mean, my heart is that everyone, whoever's listening, that God would unveil his love, right? I mean, he's torn the veil. The veil's removed in him from the blindness of the life and sin that separated us from him. But that he's done the work. It's already finished. Is it done for you? Is it done for me? We just got to receive it. We got to come in and receive it. And God, unveil your love to the people on there. I'd even love to pray for, you know, whoever is listening to, if there's time or you think that's appropriate. That's,
amen.
At the end, we'll do that. Yeah.
And beyond that, when people call you, do you get calls from families of women who are incarcerated?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Families, moms, daughters, all kind of grandmas. Everything in between, yeah. So, and even my daughter, so I help them, and we'll talk to them however I can. One of the girls' moms is in a workshop group with me. Sometimes Chloe, my 16-year-old daughter, works with some of the, we'll meet with some of the women's kids, and I also keep up with the women that go to prison. I write them on the Securus website and keep up with them there, and so do the volunteers if they can. So there's just so many different moving pieces, know, that... good.
What about, you mentioned volunteers, and are you kind of looking for people to volunteer with
you? Yes. Yeah. No, I need more volunteers. I need particularly more people that are willing to be one-on-one mentors, right? Not people that just want to come in and preach.
Right.
But people who are willing to get involved in the sitting down, the day-to-day mess, inviting someone into their heart. This kind of thing, and that's, you know, that's different. And that are willing to also just be part of this team and go through the discipleship themselves. You know, you're invited into this journey also, and then we invite these women into it.
And volunteers go through a training period, of course, training program.
Yeah, and so for, you know, most of my volunteers have gone through, you know, this 3.5-year training themselves.
Do they meet monthly in the 3.5?
So it's the workshops are 3 or 4 days every 6 months.
Okay.
It's the main piece of it. And in those, you know, 3-4 days, we're in the word, we're in worship, in prayer, and just deep into, you know, just sitting with him, learning from him, sitting at his feet. I mean, that's the one thing that's needed, isn't it? And Jesus said he won't take it away. Sit at his feet. Any work that we're doing, it comes out of the being. You can't do without being. I got to sit with him. I got to receive from him. Then I have something to give.
Amen.
We got to be Mary, not Martha.
Yes. Yeah.
And I love that story.
Yeah. Or you got to be the Mary first, then the Martha,
right?
Right,
yeah.
That's true. Then it gets work.
We're not just one. We're kind of both.
Yeah. And I think it's an interesting dynamic because we can be so quick and obedient to go do what God calls us to do. But what about when he just tells us to be still and just be? Or just go somewhere just to receive? You know, then we can make excuses for that. And that's so, I mean, point, that's really the call is first in the intimacy and the relationship and the depth and the deeper drawing in, the settling deeper in with him, you know, to receive. We have, or else I have nothing to give. So
absolutely. And the volunteers that sign up, that you ultimately do work with, they're going to start this 3.5-year program, but will they be able to actually get involved with you before the program is over?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I was going to say.
Yeah. No, it's just
to withhold.
No.
I'm just asking. Some people said, I got to be 3.5 years before I can do anything.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, just that there's a commitment to, you know, really enter in.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, excuse me, I'm looking at the clock. I hate to do this, but I'm a clock watcher by nature. So I can see where time is running out. And I would like to ask you, Tanya, to lift up in prayer. Certainly those to whom you minister, their families, and anybody else God puts on your heart. We have so many people listening today that I know either have, they're either right now in jail or prison, or they, and you could be a guy, and you need prayer too. You know, women can pray for guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
and Tanya will pray for you. But there are people listening, and they've already heard, we've heard words of hope today.
I think the phone just rang.
The phone is called, that's outside.
Oh, okay, sorry.
They may be ringing in here. We can bring them in, maybe. But I'm going to go ahead and ask you to pray. Wait and see if it buzzes. But go ahead and start prayer, and we can hold them off.
Sure. So, Lord, I just thank you for this time, and I just thank you for your people, the people in this room, the people on the outside, everyone who have a heart to enter into relationship with you, to walk with you, to do life with you, to serve you, to see your kingdom come. Father, may you be glorified and lifted up in the life of each person that is saying yes to you, and those who haven't yet said yes to, Father, may you be glorified as you begin to release, Father, what you want to release in the people, the instruments, the tools, the just a song, whatever it is that you want to release to them, that's a reminder that they're seen and they're loved and they're known, and that you are high and lifted up on the throne and over all things, but you're near and close, and you're with them, Father. You're with them. And I just pray for the women in the jail. I love you. You are amazing, amazing, amazing women. I just pray you would receive the depth and height and width and length of the love of God that is poured out. Let him pour it out over you. Let him release and pour out over you. Impregnate you with himself. Give birth. He wants to give birth to something in your life and to be released to the generations below, that everything would be broken. And I just thank you, Father, for how amazing you are. You're amazing. You're holy. You're good. You're mighty. You're wonderful. You're Father. You're King of kings. You're Lord of lords. And you're holy. And I just pray for each person under the sound of this voice that they would receive the stillness and the calm and the quiet and the peace that God wants to give in this moment as you just say yes to him. Just give him your yes and watch what he'll give back so much more. You think God's trying to take something. He's not. He just wants to take what hinders and give you back everything. He's pursuing you with his love, give you back so much more to release you in the destiny and the life that he has for you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Tanya. I'm grateful.
Beautiful prayer.
It is beautiful.
Wow.
And truly, God has crafted that prayer. He wrote it on the walls of your heart. I love it. Thank you for being with us. Again, you will be back.
Thank you for having
there's so
me.
So much more. Oh, well, you're
it was
welcome.
An honor to have Tanya on.
It is. And we need to hear, you know, the thing. Why one of the reasons why this program exists is because people need to hear what God is doing out there, whatever that out there means, from where we all are, our little sphere of influence. And we ourselves may be very active in ministry. You may be a pastor or otherwise involved in ministry in one capacity or another. And I always say this, on the other end of the spectrum, you may be someone that knows the Lord, and maybe you've just begun to have a faith journey and begun to walk with the Lord, really know him as Lord and Savior. And he's begun to tell you that he has a plan for your life, which not only involves saving you, but taking you out in with your giftings into places of ministry where you can be on the front line.
Yeah.
And it may not be prison or jail ministry. It may be... who knows? It's relative to your gifts and your skills, but you've got, he's calling you to commit to do what he made you to do. And you, because you too have a frontline ministry. We are, some of us are generals. Like, and as a pastor, I always thought, you know, I was out there with the troops, right? Getting them ready. But a general also has to be on the front line if you're a Christian. Anyway, I've talked myself into having to say goodbye because our time is up. Tanya, thanks again. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
God bless.
Okay.
Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front line.